And it's sad to think that many people are going through problems, and the one that can help them, they broke the chains and they kicked them away. And as I meditated on who are the people that break God's bands and cast his cords away, and I just as I was working on this message and I was thinking through it, I thought about these individuals right here. I thought about the wayward child. The child that grew up in the church. And you know, for some reason, and you hear me talk a lot about this, and it seems like I'm on my hobby horse when I get here, but this is real and near and dear to my heart. And that is the child that grew up in the church, that came to Sunday school, that came to Life Quest, that sat under the teaching, as some teenagers are sitting here today, that sit under the teaching. But as soon as you get out of your parents' home, as soon as you get into college or you get out on your own, the first thing you say, let us break his bands asunder. Let us cast his cords from. Wow. You've been connected all your life.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. I'd like to thank you for joining us today for the first half of Those Who Will Not Bend Will Break from Psalm 2. Before we begin our message, we've been offering a book entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And many people have questions about heaven. And these questions are answered in this book that I've written, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Why don't you contact us here and get your copy of Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Now join us for the first half of Those Who Will Not Bend Will Break.
Second Psalm 2, as we continue our series in the Psalms. Psalm 2. And the writer begins by posing the question, why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of this earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He who sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his great displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. And as we come today, we want to talk to you on the subject, those who will not bend will break. That verse 9 says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And so we come to meditate on the thought this morning that those who bend their knee and ask Jesus to come into their heart, that God will bless, strengthen, and exalt them one day. But those who will not bend, those who will not bow their knee to Jesus Christ, the passage here is very clear. that one day they will be broken. So we want to look at this second psalm this morning and study the subject and see how we make application in our lives and into those around us. In your notes this morning, we want to give you the background to the second psalm, Psalm 2, the background. This is what's known as a messianic psalm. Now, those of you who might not be familiar with messianic psalms, these are psalms that talk about Jesus Christ. Now, they were written, David wrote them, and he lived around 1000 BC, and so 1,000 years before Christ came, we see that the psalmist was already talking about Christ. And so these are what's known as messianic psalms. And so Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. In this psalm, we see a couple of things. We see the coronation of Christ as king. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me." So the Father is talking to the Son. And he says, "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." And so the idea of him being begotten, now Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that when he says that he's been begotten, that means that Christ was created. But many commentators believe that that is a reference to the resurrection. That when Jesus, if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, that when Jesus rose from the dead, he became the first of a new creation. He became the first of a new order. And so this is a prophecy. Well, actually, I could have preached this message last week because it dealt specifically, that right there deals specifically with the resurrection. "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. This day have I raised you from the dead, and you have become King of kings and Lord of lords." And so he says, "This day." This is the coronation of the king. So this psalm, it actually begins by describing the actions of the nations that reject God and his Son. So we're going to look at those verses, the first three verses. And then it moves into God's response, that when the nations reject God and his Son, we see a response from God. And then after that, we see the installation of Christ as the king and his earthly rule, again, which is a prophetic reference to his millennial reign. And then finally, this psalm ends with an invitation to the nations that they would put their trust in Christ. So that's kind of the flow of Psalm 2. So hopefully you got that down. So if you want to, just real quick, if we just think our way through it, right? It begins with those who reject God and his Son. And then God's response. And then God puts his Son on the throne. And then God gives a great invitation. That's Psalm 2. So let's go ahead and unpack it. The first thing that we see is characteristics of those who will not bend. Characteristics of those who will not bend. Notice that he begins this psalm by saying, "Why do the heathen or the nations rage?" The idea that the question is asking is, the word rage actually means uproar. And so the psalm saying, "I hear a noise. Why do I hear this noise? Why do I hear these unsaved folk? Why do I hear these people who are lost and undone without God and his Son? Why do I hear this noise? Why do the heathen rage?" And notice the subject of their raging. And the people imagine a vain thing. That this noise that's being kicked up on the earth is about vain things. That these heathen, that they rage and then they have vain imaginations. They talk about and they think about and they meditate things, and the word vain actually means to be empty, to be without any substance, to not bear any fruit at all. So why do they rage and imagine vain things? So we see the first characteristic is that they rage. The second characteristic is they imagine vain things. And then the third thing, look what it says. They set themselves against God and Jesus Christ. That this noise that you hear is a group of people who actually stand in opposition to God and His Son. These are folks, like many of us maybe at one time, that balled up their fist and shook their fist in God's face. And I'm going to talk about some other people this morning who do that, but shook their fist in the face of God. And notice what they do. They set themselves, they stand in opposition, and they gather together. Look, it says they take counsel, right? You know what that means? They gather in little groups to counsel against God and against His Son. What's this noise I hear? I hear a group of heathen that have gathered together and they're talking about how to oppose God. And notice what they do. They say, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. In the notes where it says, they break all ties with God and Christ. Now, this is deep. This is deep. The bands and cords, wow. Oh, man, this is deep. Refers to God's management, God's governance, and God's moral guidance. So, hopefully everybody in here has been attached to God's bands and His cords. Hopefully you're attached this morning to God's bands and cords. That you're saying, Lord, I want you to be the head of my life. That's the band of God on your life. You say, God, I want you to govern my life. That means that you have God's cords on your life. You say, God, I want your moral direction in my life. That's the bands and the cords of God. But what did the heathen say? Let us break them. Let us break the bands of God. And not only let us break them, but notice what it says. Let us cast them asunder. Let us kick them away. We don't want to have anything to do with God. And it's sad to think that many people are going through problems, and the one that can help them, they broke the chains and they kicked them away. And as I meditated on who are the people that break God's bands and cast His cords away, and I just, you know, just as I was working on this message and I was thinking through it, I thought about these individuals right here. I thought about the wayward child. The child that grew up in the church. And you know, for some reason, and you hear me talk a lot about this, and it seems like I'm on my hobby horse when I get here, but this is real and near and dear to my heart. And that is the child that grew up in the church, that came to Sunday school, that came to Life Quest, that sat under the teaching, as some teenagers are sitting here today, that sit under the teaching. But as soon as you get out of your parents' home, as soon as you get into college or you get out on your own, the first thing you say, let us break his bands asunder. Let us cast his cords from us. Wow. You've been connected all your life. You've been dedicated in the house of the Lord. You stood at this altar where you didn't stand. Your parents stood at this altar. It held you up as a baby and dedicated you to God
It says, by the power of God, by the best we can do, we are going to try to raise you according to God's plans, according to God's standards, and according to God's principles. And we did everything we could do to keep you in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we had devotions with you. And we spent time in prayer with you. And we taught you and we tried to guide you the way. We tried to put God's cords and God's bands on your life. Amen. But now you got out there and you broke them. Don't want to have anything else to do with God or his son. Why do the heathen rage? The atheist, the person that doesn't believe in God, that we read in Romans chapter 1 that the heavens tell us that there's a God. And not only do the heavens tell us a God, but Paul says that even in our conscience, that God has been revealed in our conscience. And the fact that God has been revealed in a person's conscience, and they say that they're atheists, what are they doing? Breaking the cords, kicking the bands away. They refuse to accept that there's a God. They refuse to accept the fact that there's a God who created them. And somebody said that there's a special day. As a matter of fact, many of us probably didn't even celebrate. It just happened a couple days ago, April 1st. That's Atheist Day. The fool have said in his heart that there is no God. One thing that I'm seeing, and it's troubling my spirit, is I'm seeing a lot of people who are angry with God. I'm seeing people that evidently grew up in somebody's church somewhere. And they get out here and they start listening to these lies being perpetrated about the Christianity is a white man's religion and we got a religion over here for blacks that liberates and that gives you identity and tells you who you are. And so people start getting angry because they feel like they've been told a lie all their life. And so they break off God's bands. They break off his cord. And I know some people that grew up in the church, and they're so angry, they're so bitter with Christianity, they're so bitter with God, that they do everything they can to oppose it, to attack it, and to tear it down. Somebody sent me an article a couple weeks ago about a person who was supposedly be a Christian and gave 10 reasons why they rejected the Bible. 10 reasons why they rejected the Bible. Always antiquated, always not relevant to the times, always it's prejudice against a certain group of people, on and on and on. Breaking his bands, casting off his cords. The evolutions, anybody that believes in evolution, and I know there's probably some people that right here today that probably disagree with me, but I'm just going to tell you that in the beginning, God created. I'm going to tell you, in the beginning, you know, it wasn't a bunch of amoeba got together by accident and just, you know, came together and came into some molecules and gave life, and then all of a sudden became like a little tadpole swimming in the earth, and then sprouted fins and began to swim, and then had legs and began to walk on the earth, and then, you know, came to two legs and started walking and swinging in trees, and now the teaching in the universe. No, just kidding. No, God created. When you get this wrong about God creating everything, then you got the whole thing wrong. You got everything. That's where all these isms that should be wasn'ts came in. Because, you know, every false thing that, you know, arises and every immoral thing comes out of, a lot of it comes out of the fact that there's no God, the evolutionist. And then the immoral person that has broken the chains and that has cast off his cords. Who's the immoral person? You know, it broke my heart the other night. I was watching the news, and I don't know if anybody saw this, but there's actually a group of people in America now they call zombies. I don't know, anybody see that? Yeah, man, there's a group of people called zombies. And you know what zombies are? People that are so cracked out, so burned out on drugs, they just sit there and stare They're just like a zombie. You know, if you go back and think of, you know, the zombie movies, they're just like the zombies. And I think about how that, you know, at some point, you know, these individuals had a sense about them at some point in their life. And then all of a sudden, they just got caught up in this immoral lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. And now they're pretty much non-functional human beings. People who chase after sin, who love sin, who dive into debauchery. That these are individuals that say God. Now again, when we say that his bands and his cords, what are we talking about? One of the things, we're talking about his moral governance over our life. His moral guidelines in our life. And the immoral person just breaks it and kicks it off and says, I don't want to have anything to do with this God. And you know what? If I sat down and probably just meditated for an hour, I'd probably come up with a lot more. But these were the ones that I came up with. You can add to the list. Whatever comes to your mind of people who have broken God's bands and kicked off his cords. But now we move to the fact that God will respond. That God is not silent. And we see his response in verses 4 and 5. It says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and he shall vex them in his great displeasure. The first thing we see is that he laughs at them. Verse 4. He that sits in the heaven, he laughs at those who would rebel. You know, if you turn on your TV after 11:30 at night, probably for about a block of two and a half hours, you're going to see mostly on the major stations, what? Comedy shows. You got the great comedians that come on at that time. And what do? They make people what? Laugh. They say funny things. They say ridiculous things. They say absurd things, and people laugh. Well, this is God's comedy hour. As tragic as it might sound, when he looks at people that are rebelling against him, when he looks at people that are breaking the chains of God off of their life, what does he do? That's crazy, man. Wow. It amuses God. Now, again, there's a serious side, and you know, when we talk about God laughing, that is an anthropomorphic expression where we give human characteristics to God. And so I believe that, you know, and I'm going to show you here in a second, that God's heart is breaking in the midst of this too. But he's laughing at the fact that somebody would actually think that they could live their life independent of him. And there are many people that do it, but it's crazy. It's foolishness. And so this is God's comedy hour. He just sits back and he laughs at the notion that somebody would think they can live their life apart from him. He laughs. And not only that, but he makes fun of them. Look at your notes. The word, the King James says, he will have them in derision, right? In derision. Well, what does that word mean? It actually means, really the King James, the translation here, it could be a little bit better. Because actually, what it means is the word derision comes from the Hebrew word lawag, and it means to laugh at something that seems ridiculous.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Those Who Will Not Bend Will Break. If you would like to request a copy of today's message, Those Who Will Not Bend Will Break, or if you would like to request a copy of the book that we've been offering, Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, contact us at anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. Visit our website where you can view more than 400 teachings. The address there is anchoredinjesus.org. anchoredin.org. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. My brothers and sisters, I hope you remember that we are on the air by the faithfulness of the people of God who give to this radio ministry. And if you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. The title of this radio program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.